Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So we have 162 of 174 TDs elected, and the counting and recounts continue in some constituencies around the country. But the attention turns to who's going to be holding power, what sort of coalitions we could see. So who's talking to who? What are the red lines for the parties? Who's going to get the last number of seats in the 34th Dáil? Well, let's get to those last few constituencies where counts are ongoing. And we'll start with our reporter, Brian O'Connor. Connell, who's watching the Cork North Central proceedings. And Brian, we're waiting to hear, are we, if there's going to be a full recount in the five-seater. Do you have a decision on that yet?
We have a decision just in the past 20 minutes. So we've had 17 counts here. We've had two full days of counting. Still don't have a result in Cork North Central. Essentially, at one point last night, the battle here really was for the final seat. And Solidarity, People Before Profits, Mick Barry was battling 24-year-old relative newcomer Owen Kenny from Labour. Just one vote separated them at one point. When it came to the finish up and the distribution of surpluses, Owen Kenny was 35 votes ahead of Mick Barry and was deemed elected. And it was at that point in the early hours of this morning that Mick Barry requested a recount. We came back in here this morning. Mick Barry and Owen Kenny's team met with returning officer Martin Harvey in the last 20 minutes. What has been decided now is that they are going to do a check of bundles of 1,000 votes. They'll check to see where any misplaced. That should take us probably up until lunchtime, and then there'll be another conversation at that point as to what would happen. Obviously, if it's a full recount, we're looking at days here. There's a reduced staff, as you can imagine. People were committed over the weekend. They don't have as many staff now. So we'll know a little bit more by lunchtime. What we do know here is that the first four seats obviously were pretty much nailed on in this constituency from the very early stages. So what we had was outgoing TD Sinn Féin's Thomas Gould topping the poll. He surpassed the quota on count 10. He was followed by outgoing Fianna Fáil TD Pádraig O'Sullivan on count 12. Outgoing Fine Gael junior minister Colin Burke retained his seat. And then Independent Ireland's Ken O'Flynn elected on count 14. Quite interesting with Ken O'Flynn, Claire. His father, as you know, Noel O'Flynn, had held the seat in Cork North Central for Fianna Fáil. Ken O'Flynn went for selection for Fianna Fáil in 2016, lost out to the nomination, and subsequently then he became an independent, and then he joined with Independent Ireland, and he really has put in a huge performance here, gaining a seat for Independent Ireland. He's chairperson of the party, says their door is open and they're willing to talk to anyone in terms of government formation. And then I suppose the other big story and the big surprise for many here is this young Labour candidate Owen Kenny, 24 years of age, first co-opted onto the council in February, first elected to the local council in June. He's a school teacher. He was for a couple of months Sean Sherlock's parliamentary assistant. Sean Sherlock, of course, would have held that Labour seat in Cork East. Then Mallow, which is where the stronghold would have been, came into this Cork North Central constituency. So Owen Kenny didn't canvass Cork City at all. He stuck to Mallow, got somewhere, they reckon, around 3,000 first preference votes in Mallow. And he really put in a huge surprise. He was pretty stunned last night when I was talking to him. He was 7 years of age when his old boss, Sean Sherlock, was first elected.
Right. Well, look, and Mick Barry, as you say, isn't giving up on that one yet. So you'll keep in touch with us with any developments, as you say. We should know whether we're going into a full recount by lunchtime. Brian, thank you very much for that update. John Kenny is covering the adjourned count in Kildare North in that five-seater. They resumed counting there about an hour ago, John, did they?
They did, yeah. Welcome to sunny Punchestown. We're actually in the Kildare South area. They're long gone, though, but we're still here. That count resumed at 9 o'clock. Count 10 expected to take around 2 hours, but don't quote me on that. Distribution of Aidan Farrelly's surplus of 1,613 votes. The Social Democrat got in on count 9 last night before they decided to come back again this morning. That was just before midnight. He's joined James Lawless of Fianna Fáil, elected on the 8th count. So we're left with 5 for 3 seats. Currently, it's Ruaidhrí Cronin of Sinn Féin, looking to hold on to her seat. She's about 600 shy of the quota of 9,500 odd. Fourth place currently is Jo Neville of Fine Gael on 7,727, just ahead of Fianna Fáil's Naoise O'Carroll. They're the top five currently with the two elected. Just outside of that, Bernard Durkin and Bill Clear, the independent. Bernard Durkin, I think, well, speaking to him last night, he seems all resigned to losing his seat. But Bill Clear, if he can get ahead of Durkin with the surplus of Aidan Farrelly, because he's a former Social Democrat himself, he would still stay in the race. But obviously it depends on those transfers. But it takes around 2 hours to do the surplus. It's been taking a bit longer, actually, here, if truth be known, over the last couple of days, because he didn't get the first count, actually, until Saturday morning, because there was a problem which we haven't got really to the bottom of for the first day of counting. So the counting goes on here. Two elected so far. That is James Lawless and Aidan Farrelly of Social Democrats, who got in last night. Five left for three seats.
All right. Well, John, we expect some news from there before 12 o'clock, but we'll keep in touch. That's John Kenny there in Punchestown. So deja vu here, because Barry Lenehan is in front of me again.
Yes, good. Hello again, Claire.
Hello again. Good to see you. So we heard from the Cann centres there. We bear in mind that there's still seats to be decided, but you've been taking a look at what the final seat numbers might be now, and there's a clearer picture.
Yes, it looks like Fianna Fáil will have a 9-seat advantage over the second placed finisher, and that is Sinn Féin. So Fianna Fáil have 5 seats left to come by Ardtot, which will bring them to 48. Sinn Féin have 3 certain seats coming, which brings them to 39. Fine Gael are waiting on seats in Louth and Kildare North, which would go to 38. Labour have 2 seats left to come. Alan Kelly, the former leader, and Owen Kenny, as we heard from Brian O'Connell there, which would bring them to 11. And the Social Democrats are also currently on 11 with nothing else left in play. However, there is an issue in Limerick City, which we will discuss, around the where Conor Sheehan beat Elisa O'Donovan. Conor Sheehan of Labour beat the Social Democrats, Elisa O'Donovan, but her placement on the ballot paper was wrong. It wasn't placed in alphabetical order, and the margins were so tight that anything could still yet happen there. I'm not sure what the story is with the Social Democrats camp on that one. The People Before Profit are 3. They need Mick Barry to get 4. They came in to this with 6. So not a good result for them. AIM2 on 2. Independent Ireland on 4. Nothing more to come there. And Independence, we think there's one more left. But the significant gap there is between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. A gap of 10, it would appear, when all is said and done. And we've heard both the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, and the outgoing Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, speak of parity of esteem, whatever that might mean. But with a gap of 10, there are certain questions around government formation.
OK, well, look, let's go to the phone line now and to Thomas Byrne, Fianna Fáil TD for Meath East. Hello, Thomas.
Good morning, Claire.
And congratulations to you on your re-election. But I really do want to ask you about that parity of esteem question. I mean, what do you think when you hear Fine Gael politicians saying, well, there has to be parity of esteem here between the two parties? Like, you're way ahead of them.
Well, what I want to say, first of all, Claire, is just to thank my family, my friends, my supporters, my team, my constituents who have elected me to Dáil Éireann. It's an incredible honour to be elected to Dáil Éireann. I think every TD is reflecting on that this morning. It's just incredible, and I really just want to thank them for all the work they did and the constituents for putting their trust in me in Meath East again. I'm just so happy about that for a start. There are quite a number of seats still to come. There are a number of TDs yet to be elected. I think Barry's right. We think we can be at 48 seats. Mm-hmm. And I do want to thank the Fianna Fáil organisation and supporters all around the country, because we are now in first place by a considerable distance. We've had some remarkable victories. If you look at Dublin, where after 2011 we had 1 seat, the late Brian Lennon. Now we have 10. Fine Gael and Sinn Féin are on 11 each in Dublin. There was predictions before the election we'd be wiped out. We haven't been. You look at Carlow and Kenny, where we've 3 seats. We've lots of new candidates being elected. We came first in the election despite the exit poll predicting us coming third, and which was really disheartening to our supporters on Friday night. And I think, quite frankly, with public money being spent on that exit poll, we do need an explanation. It doesn't seem that they were able to model turnout, which is, as I understand it, pretty standard around the world, that you try to model what the turnout would be. And I don't know what techniques have been used, and I think they need to be explained to us.
Right. It's not that Fianna Fáil voters aren't saying that they're voting for Fianna Fáil.
Well, if that's the explanation, then the experts need to tell us that. But we haven't got that. These things are just brushed off every single time. And that's not just exit polling, but
It's just interesting because it seems to apply to Fianna Fáil in particular time and again, doesn't it?
But can we have the yes, and maybe the statisticians could give us the reason for that.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, I think you're right. I'm not arguing with you. I think you're right. Yeah. I think you do need answers on that question. Listen, to come back then to parity of esteem, I mean, you've gone through it there, how well Fianna Fáil have done. We're saying now that your seat tally will be at 48. And then we have people like Michael Ring saying, under no circumstances should Fine Gael go in with Fianna Fáil if they demand to hold the Taoiseach's office for 5 years?
What Fianna Fáil will do is use our mandate of 48 seats, which we expect and hope to get, to implement the policies that we've set out in the manifesto. So what any individual person says about positions or rotation or anything like that is utterly irrelevant to the issues that we've put forward that we want to implement. And that's why I think we've done so well.
What I'm saying to you is, it's cheeky of them to say it, isn't it?
No. What's way more important is what Micheál Martin said about our red line being therapists going into special schools, children with special needs, getting those therapies in special classes. That's the type of thing that we're actually prioritising. And I think that's why people voted for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saw in Micheál Martin as a serious politician, Fianna Fáil, serious politicians who take these issues seriously. And if we just go straight into the numbers game without actually trying to strategise as to how we implement these policies, I think we'll be doing a disservice, not only to the TDs who aren't elected yet.
I suppose the problem is you can't do anything unless you have a programme for government and unless you have a deal with Fine Gael. And if you have them coming out saying parity of esteem, then this thing is going to have to be ironed out fairly quickly, right?
Well, as the party who came first by 10 seats, there's no doubt that our program will get implemented in the next Dáil.
Mm-hmm.
That will be our priority. And how we do that and who supports us in that is a question for the coming weeks. The Deputy Leader, Jack Chambers, said this morning it's unlikely we'll have a government before Christmas. So there's a little bit of time to do that. And I think that we need to wait for these final seats to be decided and
Let's bring in Patrick O'Donovan then, Fine Gael TD, who joins us on the line, Limerick County TD. Patrick, you're welcome to the programme this morning.
Thanks, sir.
It's a bit cheeky, isn't it, of Fine Gael to be talking about parity of esteem now when it looks as though you'll be behind by 10 seats?
Well, I just want to take the opportunity that Thomas did there to thank the people of County Limerick for returning me to the Dáil for a fourth term, exceeding the quota on the first count. I'm delighted. It's an enormous rural constituency that we have here. And I want to thank my family, friends, the councillors and the Fine Gael supporters and members all across the county who delivered a massive result for me here in County Limerick.
Yeah, and I heard you saying that, and you're very grateful to them, and you said that yesterday. But just on the parity of esteem question, is it important for you?
What's important to us is that we're going to have about 20 new faces in our parliamentary party room when we meet on Wednesday, and the first thing that we'll do is we'll consult them. They're the first people that are, you know, whose voices need to be heard, and they'll be heard within the confines of our party room. We won't, much to the disappointment of RTE, I'm sure, and others, we won't be carrying out the negotiation.
But it's your own people who are saying it. It's like Helen McEntee was straight out talking about parity of esteem, and that means that you want this rotating Taoiseach thing, isn't that right?
No, what we want is to make sure that, first of all, that there's a process and a plan put in place in order that a stable government can be formed for 5 years. And when you have up to 20 new people elected to Dáil Éireann, and the first group of people that have to be consulted and have to be spoken to. And by the way, we're not in any hurry here. You know, we're not having to fill a deadline for any particular media outlet. So we'll take our time and we'll do it properly. And we'll do it within the confines of our parliamentary party.
I suppose the people deserve a government as quickly as possible, don't they?
The people deserve a government that's going to last. And the people have spoken and the people are sovereign. And there are a number of combinations that could potentially come out with the formation of a government, as there were the last time when we stood up with the Green Party in Fianna Fáil and said we would take the reins, and other people went around the country, you'll recall, having big monster meetings saying we won, when in actual fact they didn't, and then COVID hit. So we're going to take our time and we'll enter into these discussions as adults, and we won't, as I say, be worried about any particular time frame that the media will set out for us. We'll make sure that a programme for government that is agreed would only be agreed with the Fine Gael values clearly stamped on top of it.
So you're taking a very responsible attitude here. So can I read from that that if Fianna Fáil insisted on it, you would be happy to see Simon Harris as Taoiseach for the 5-year term?
Well, I don't know how you managed to extrapolate that, Claire. Now, you're good, in fairness to you, but you're not that good, because that's not what I said at all. So how you managed to extrapolate that out of us taking our time and being responsible and making sure that any agreed programme for government would have the Fine Gael stamp on is even a step that Claire Byrne has managed to jump beyond, which you've normally jumped. That's not what I've said. What I said is we'll meet on Wednesday. We have over 20 new people who will all have to have their views listened to from their canvas and from their priorities. And from there, we'll make a decision, and I'm sure the Taoiseach will make a decision then, mm-hmm. with regard to putting forward a team that will enter into negotiations around the programme for government. We're not in that space yet because we still don't have all of our seats filled.
Yeah, well, I suppose I was just asking you a straight question, you know, as to whether you would be happy to have Simon Harris in there as Taoiseach for the 5 years, as opposed to being in and out with Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. That's the straight question I'm asking.
No, and I'm giving you a straight answer. And I said, like we said during the election, the Taoiseach said during the election, it's very presumptuous of people to start talking about jobs or anything like that when there isn't even a programme for government. And some people, you know, decided in the election to talk about jobs before and people had gone to the polls. We haven't even done that. What we want to do is the people have spoken now and they've elected a new team of Fine Gael TDs, many of whom are first-time public representatives, not alone first-time TDs.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have their voices heard within the Fine Gael room first, and we won't be doing that on the airwaves.
Right. And what does parity of esteem mean to you then?
What I said, Claire, is, I mean, without flogging the horse to date, I think there's a dead horse that you've got here now.
No, listen, but move away if you want from the question of Taoiseach. What does it mean in more general terms when you would be going in with 38 with a party that has 48 seats? What does that look like in your mind?
If you look at what the last programme for government contained and how different parties brought different colours and dimensions to that programme for government and how that policy platform was trashed out, it took time and people had respect. And, you know, there was a respect for people's views with regards to different policies. There were some things that Fine Gael liked. There were some things that Fine Gael would have been happier maybe they weren't there. There were some things the Green Party would have been happier they weren't there. There were some things that Fianna Fáil might have preferred not to have seen there. But at the end of the day, when you have, as we will have now, some sort of a multi-party coalition, it will have to be. And the last government was founded on respect. And it was founded on respect on the basis of people's different viewpoints. And it took time to put it together.
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing will happen here.
OK, so Thomas Byrne, to you then on who the preferred partner might be once you get beyond Fine Gael, are you interested in talking to Labour, perhaps the Soc Dems, either or both, or independents?
We really haven't got into this. I know you find it difficult to take and hard to believe, maybe.
Well, I suppose, Thomas and Patrick, what I'm looking for really, I know that you haven't had time to talk about this to your party, but your own view on it.
You're looking for a scoop, Claire, to be fair to you, and you're doing a good job.
Patrick, I'm interviewing, as is my job. My job is to interview you and find out what the next government is going to look like.
And
Patrick, you're an elected TD. You're a minister. You might be a minister next time. I think people expect that you would have a view on these things.
Look, job respectfully is to talk to our parties first.
Okay, but you've agreed to come on the programme, I'm delighted that you're happy to answer the questions that I'm putting to you. Yes, Thomas, go ahead.
Can I just say, whatever we do, and it'll take time for that to emerge, it'll have to go back to the Fianna Fáil members who've worked so hard to get this election result over the line. So parliamentary parties have to meet, leader has to discuss things. There's a lot to happen now. And really, genuinely, the most important thing is that we get our policies implemented. We get that mandate reflected. That's guaranteed to happen with the numbers that we have. And I just, again, want to pay tribute to the organisation around the country who've done this. But it will be in their hands, ultimately. And we're going to work to make sure that our mandate is implemented. And also, whoever is in government with Fianna Fáil, it'll be really, really professionally based. And can I just, for one moment, pay tribute to Catherine Martin in particular, and senior minister in the department I was in. We had an outstanding working relationship and really achieved, I think, really good things, particularly on the sport and Gaeltacht side. And I just want to pay tribute to her having lost her seat as well. I think I should do that.
Yeah,
and that's the type of professional working relationship that Fianna Fáil will have with whoever's in government.
We did hear in the campaign that once you go beyond the M50, the Greens got an absolute kicking from their good colleagues in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which may have led in part to the result that they had at the weekend.
All I can speak from is a direct working experience with the minister, with Minister Martin, and it was an incredibly professional relationship, and we will do that with whomever we are in government with in the next 5 years. And that's what Fianna Fáil is about, is actually getting the job done, doing it professionally, and showing the leadership that I think that we will need over the next number of years with okay. the, you know, the tide that's coming in and,
right.
and going
Listen,
out.
Listen, we've another TD with us now, Kevin Boxer-Moore. And hello, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire, and how are you this morning for a beautiful Athlone?
Listen, I'm sure it's very beautiful for you today. You're back, as you say yourself. Are you willing to do business with Thomas and Patrick and their parties?
Well, the way they're talking there, yes, we're still in negotiations or fighting or going into the Dáil, or we're creating problems with one another. One is howling and the other is barking. We have to get together. We have to put the people around the table. We have to, for the people of Ireland, get a government together as quick as possible. There's no point talking. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, they were in this the last time. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Independent Alliance were in it the last time. We all know the negotiation that has to happen for the people of Ireland, for the promises, the commitments was made in the programme of the last government, but the promises been made now of the both parties. And all the other parties have to sit around the table and get a government as fast as possible.
Are you interested yourself?
Look, there's plenty of small parties that can go into government. And I'm kind of annoyed this morning to hear so many parties saying they're worried they might end up like the Greens. Listen, we all put our best foot forward. We all want to govern. That's why we put our name forward. That's why we go out with our literature and we talk to the people. This idea is saying you don't want it in case you get burnt. It's clear. One day in government is better than 100 days in opposition. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I know that. But I hear what the boys are saying. They have to go back to parliamentary parties. I understand that. But that will happen, I think, in due course. But it'll be quicker than I think when the final curtains come down and see who's elected. I think the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, along with, will sit down and negotiate, and then they'll look out to reach out to other smaller parties or independents. And if required, my door is open, 100%, I'll talk to him. I know the two lads in particular. But Claire, can I say, I want to thank all my own team, particularly the Boxing Machine, my own wife, Michelle, and my two sons, Jamie and John, my brothers, my sisters. They were very much behind what I've done. My director of elections, John Gibbons, and my old schoolhouse, Jerry McManus, and my strategist team, Michael McKiernan. Without them, I wouldn't be here talking to you this morning. Yeah. And I can only say to you, if required, I'm there and willing to serve.
Right. Thomas and Patrick, you both hear that message loud and clear from Boxer.
Well, I think it's really important that every TD has that attitude, actually, because quite frankly, sometimes they come into the Dáil and they don't want to go into government. It's our duty to form a government in the interest of the country. Okay. And Fianna Fáil takes that duty very, very seriously and will not shirk it.
And Patrick?
Yeah, look, I come in to congratulate the Boxer. I served with him as a Minister of State in the Fine Gael minority government. And, you know, I can't understand people who stand for election to the Dáil and whose sole motivation is to be in opposition. I think that's a terrible place to be. And I think Boxer is right. And pity more people don't take that attitude.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. Patrick O'Donovan, Thomas Byrne and Kevin Boxer-Moore. And back with our panel after this. Hi, Barry Lenehan is still here with us, joined by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent, Teresa Reedy, lecturer in government at UCC, and Aidan Regan, associate professor in UCD's School of Politics and International Relations. Well, now, Teresa, it's been a long weekend for everybody and everyone. You know, there's a lack of sleep all around. Did you pick up on the barking and howling that Boxer-Moore said we were getting there in the last part?
Well, I think it's been a long weekend for a lot of candidates, and everybody would probably do with a rest, and that might have been the most evident thing coming out of that conversation. Look, I think the direction of travel is fairly evident to us all now. The two parties combined, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they can, with a degree of ease, form a coalition with other gene pool candidates from both of their parties. And that's probably the kind of easiest route, and even to get to in excess of 90, there are plenty of gene pool Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael candidates. There would be few ideological differences. They might even not make all that many demands in terms of ministerial positions. So it could be that you could have localised individual arrangements with them regarding developments in their constituencies or particular policies that some of those independents prioritise. But the, you know, and at the end of the day, we often talk about kind of the stability of coalitions, but I think we're very scarred by the early 1980s. The reality is coalitions in the last number of decades have tended to
stay. They've been stable,
haven't
they?
They've been very stable, and they've stayed for the full duration of the term. And the minority government even lasted a year longer than we expected that it would. So, you know, there is a stable pathway to a particular type of government.
And can I ask you, do you agree with the Bertie Ahern figure for stability? He puts it at 94.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's something to be said for having slightly more than the bare minimum winning coalition, because that does give you a degree of a degree of latitude. And let there not be any kind of policy difficulties. Somebody could become ill. Somebody, you know, there are all manner of reasons why you might need a little bit of an extra cushion.
So that means they'd need 6 or 7 beyond what they have themselves.
Yes, I think that would be advisable at the start, particularly given that, I mean, there was a lot of discussion yesterday, which was assuming that there is a great global depression ahead of us. There's certainly great global uncertainty ahead of us. But I mean, we can't say exactly what's going to happen. But some difficult decisions may have to be taken. Mm-hmm. And I think a degree of cushioning in the arrangement is probably advisable. On the other hand, though, there is another clear route, which is to go with one of the smaller political parties. It gets you a larger coalition, but it does mean that there would have to be policy compromises that might not be all that attractive, particularly to the grassroots of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But it's, again, easier if you're the chief whip managing a three-party government. That's much easier than managing an arrangement with maybe 6 or 8 individual independents. It's a clearer arrangement. And again, the history of small parties and coalitions in Ireland is actually one of stability, and it's certainly not one of them tending to collapse governments willy-nilly. Both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have worked with the Labour Party before. I think that's why the conversation is really focused on the Labour Party and perhaps not the other, option here, which is the Social Democrats. They're untested in government, and I think that's why the parties are looking more to the Labour Party. Well, so there are two clear options.
There are, and Aidan, I know you were listening closely to Ivana Bacic, the Labour Party leader, on Morning Ireland this morning. What did you glean from where her head is at?
Well, I think what I would have read from what she said is that she's eager to go into government, but I'm not sure that view is widely shared within her party. I mean, at the end of the day, political parties are strategic actors. They obviously have their own self-interest and they want to preserve themselves as a party. It's very easy for us to say, just go into government and enact your policies and, you know, everything will be fine. And sure, you get a kicking at the next election and you lose all your seats, but it's OK. Do you really think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael think like that, right? So why should we expect small parties to think like that? It's not reasonable. So I suspect that, you know, when the dust settles and all of this and they do the numbers and they realise, oh, how much bargaining power do we actually have? Obviously, many individuals within Labour would be keen to have a ministerial portfolio, and they might be thinking about having some sort of ministerial portfolio. If the signal they get from government, from Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, is that they will have influence, that they'll be able to enact their policies, and there will be, for example, a radical shift in housing policy and so on, and that they can kind of pursue their key kind of egalitarian, or what Ivana Bacic calls the activist state programme, maybe then the door opens up a little bit wider. But at the end of the day, it looks like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to have 86 seats, right? Maybe their voters are telling them that we punished the Greens. The Greens lost all their seats. So there's a big downward trend in the incumbency in terms of the government. It was the Greens that took the kicking for the government, basically. Maybe their electorate are telling them that they want to have a conservative turn. Maybe their electorate are telling them that maybe it's not the way forward for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to govern with a progressive alliance on the centre-left. Maybe that's what their voters are telling them, particularly outside of the urban areas.
So if you take that view, then it's the independents.
Maybe it's the way
a particular
forward for Fianna Fáil
type
and Fine Gael
of independent.
Is to work to get back to their grassroots and work with their conservative independents that are the gene pool of those parties and get back to what those parties typically stand for. And maybe that's the pathway forward for those parties.
Listen, let's just look at Sinn Féin for a minute. Is there a route to power for Sinn Féin if they get those 39 seats?
For Sinn Féin?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think everybody can, I think we all agree that that's not realistic or possible. The question, I think, for Sinn Féin is, I mean, I know it's very hard to read the outcome. On the one hand, of course, they will be disappointed because their vote share is down by about 5.5%. But all the parties' vote share are down. Soc Dems are up, Labour are up. So they've lost some vote share, I would suspect, to the centre-left, but also to independents, right? And also the low turnout certainly didn't work for them in that sense. But they have consolidated their position as the main opposition party in the Parliament. Parliament. And the question then for the other opposition parties, if it is the case, for example, that Labour, Soc Dems, other left and other independents end up in opposition, maybe they just need to recognise that Sinn Féin are the biggest party in that bloc. And if they want to offer an alternative government to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they have to start working together. And they have to start confronting their own voters and saying, look, this is the reality. Do you want to govern together as a bloc or not? Now, if Labour go into government, it would be interesting because what you would have is a realignment on new and old. The old parties would be in government, effectively, the three historic parties of the state, and all the new parties, effectively, would be in the opposition. And that would be a structural transformation. Okay. But Sinn Féin have consolidated their position as the main opposition party. They're not in a position to govern unless Sinn Féin, or unless, sorry, Fianna Fáil opened the door for them. That just clearly is not, doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, yeah.
Okay. Listen, let's talk about parity of esteem, Fionnán. Patrick O'Donovan does not clearly want to talk about it. The deputy party leader, though, Helen McEntee, did. Michael Ring did. And it is going to be a big issue because, you know, there's a big difference in seats there and you're looking to share the job of Taoiseach. How's that going to work?
Yeah, you're getting less help from Patrick O'Donovan there than his running mate, Noreen Stokes, below in Limerick County, to be honest. And that's saying something, boy. Yeah, look.
He'll be back now on foot of that.
Ultimately, if you look at the numbers, I mean, it's not parity of esteem compared to 5 years ago where the numbers were more or less the same, 38-35. Fianna Fáil will come to the table and say, listen, we've got 56% of the seats compared to you on 44 out of the 86. I'm not too sure that it's just the rotating Taoiseach you can talk about here. That's probably one that Fianna Fáil will be happy to give up. Micheál takes it, obviously, because he's got more seats. There's other... Takes it first for the first 2.5 years and then it passes to himself. You've got, A, you're back in. You have an EU presidency coming up. Significant events like that in the first half of the term. But it comes down to the divvy of the manifesto then. Fine Gael and their acorn scheme, given let's give money to rich people to save for their nest egg for their kids and not for poor people who can't afford it. That sort of stuff is gone off the table in terms of individual portfolios, in terms of, for example, the mini budget that pretty much both parties were saying there was going to be an extra bit of cash doled out in the new year. Fine Gael's VAT rate now, which would put up electricity bills for homes but bring them down for businesses, that's probably off the table as well. Do you come to a situation where the rotation of the finance and the public expenditure portfolios, do they come off the table? Would Fianna Fáil say, well, no, we'll keep finance and you can have your Department of Infrastructure, Simon, off you go, you can have that.
But we keep the money portfolios.
Who gets the European Commissioner? Who gets how many cabinet seats? That all comes into play. I don't really think the rotation, but Fianna Fáil would be right to say, we got more lads.
But the percentage share of the vote is very close together. Is there any argument Fine Gael perhaps could make on that? What's the difference between one point?
It's seats that matter at the end of the day. You need people voting in the Dáil.
But Fine Gael transfers helped Fianna Fáil over the line in some
but
cases.
But if you look at the two of them, I mean, Fianna Fáil got their second worst vote in their history, only compared to 2011. Fine Gael got their second worst vote in their history, only better than 1948. I mean, Simon Harris got less votes than Leo Varadkar. So you're kind of going, you know, they've stagnated themselves to victory here. Transfers went their way. They were slightly more favourable. And basically, if people voted for change in this election, well, they voted for change on who the junior coalition party is. They certainly voted for change in terms of their views on the lead opposition party. There was a magnificent achievement by Sinn Féin at the weekend to spin a 5.5% loss. So basically, for every five voters they had at the last election, they now only have four. And that was some sort of victory and a vote for change.
Yeah, but they did consolidate the result, as Aidan said, election. That wasn't a blip. Like, we know that now.
Absolutely. And I think this is where you have to take Mary Lou McDonald's leadership into context. She has brought them from being a party that was around about a 13-15% party into one that is sizable and can compete consistently with the two major parties. If you look at it, as Micheál Martin himself conceded, they're all 20% parties now. There's a couple of percentage going either way at each election.
You could also look at that result and say that people voted for Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin to be in government.
You could. I mean, once again, Fine Gael's vote has gone down, as it has been going down consistently since 2011. But Micheál Martin has been quite firm in that regard. And this, again, goes back to the failing on Sinn Féin. But I don't understand why we're going through this pantomime now of pretending that a minority left-wing administration can be put forward. When the Dáil meets in 3 weeks' time, it's likely that Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil won't be proposing a Taoiseach. They'll just elect the Cheann Comhairle and then say, good luck, we'll see you in the new year. Does Sinn Féin try and force a vote and say, well, no, we want to nominate Mary Lou and see who votes for that and play all that out? So our Labour now have to decide, are they going to go through all that pageantry of pretending that a left-wing alliance can be formed and you can elect a minority left-wing government, which isn't going to happen, or are they going to actually focus on the big prize of going into government? That's the choice.
Okay. Teresa, do you want to come back in there?
I just think it's worth saying the bigger Dáil means that there's a capacity for everybody to indicate that they have improved their position in terms of seats. But actually, in relative terms, they have mostly come back. Fianna Fáil have come back actually with a much better seat return on their percentage vote share. Fine Gael are actually, you know, they're probably quite happy with where they are because it was going to be...
Fianna Fáil got a 5.6% seat bonus, which means more seats than their vote would have accrued.
So. Yeah, I mean, they've come back with 21.9% of the vote as opposed to 22.2% the last time around. And they've done much better in seats, I think. And strategically as well, they're positioned in Dublin. They've got a lot more seats in Dublin. They've got a lot of younger candidates. And so they're probably going to be very pleased with their outcome.
As well, doesn't it? Because
absolutely.
Fine Gael had the likes of Damien English in Mead West, Joe McHugh in Donegal, Brendan Griffin in Kerry, then there's three seats perhaps off the top of my head which they would have had, and Fianna Fáil wouldn't, which would be then a gap of seven.
And now Fine Gael has no seat in Wexford, no seat in Kerry, no seat in Donegal. So, I mean, they're probably satisfied enough in terms of where they've come back with, because the last week of the campaign was actually not going very well and there were people in Fine Gael quite worried that they would drop much lower. So the decline was arrested and they have broadly managed the incumbency problem as well as they could. They won some, they lost some. Yeah. I mean, they left a lot behind, to be honest, with some
TDs
of their
with their strategy.
They had too many candidates in several places, and say Kerry is the very obvious example where they just ran one first-time candidate who'd never competed for anything before. So some of the decisions will have to be reflected upon. But Sinn Féin, again, it depends where you start the analysis. If you start the analysis in June, Sinn Féin have had a very good day, if you look at it.
They were at 35, 36.
Then it's a catastrophic outcome. And that's the problem. There's no resilience in their vote. Yeah. I mean, it's very soft support and it kind of ebbs and flows. And I think the performance of Mary Lou MacDonald during the campaign really, in terms of, there's a lot of discussion now about the leadership of Sinn Féin, but she is clearly one of their strongest electoral assets. She performed very well in the course of the campaign.
Just zooming out a bit for a moment. I mean, when you have a multi-party system and you have three medium-sized parties at about 20%, various small parties around 5, 6, 4%, the legitimacy of the political system is a little bit more fragile in the sense of what is the actual mandate for government, right? The reality is 40% of people didn't vote at all, right? And we need to talk about the turnout. I know it's a few percentage point higher given the problems with the electoral register. Those who did vote, only 40% voted for government. So 60% did not vote for government. So I think, you know, one might want to curb their enthusiasm a little bit on government side in terms of whether they have a popular mandate for their programme. It's not really there. So that means that they have to be a little bit more, I think, cognizant of the fact that there's lots of people out there who really do want a change in policy, right? So if you continue with much of the same and there's not a radical reset on key issues on housing, then I think you can probably expect to see a lot more polarisation amongst the electorate. You're going to see a lot of agitation. You're going to see a lot of disgruntled people out there because they feel like their voice is not actually being heard. So we have a multi-party system, but at the same time, we've never had less of a possibility of a change of government.
We've actually never had more parties. We now have 7.33 parties. The Dáil has never been more fragmented. And yet the statistic from the exit poll, when people were asked what coalition did they want, 22% said they wanted something else, i.e. none of the options that were on offer on the table. So never so much choice. And yet people don't know what they want or are not impressed by the choice.
I've been listening to this argument now over the course of the weekend. There's lots of disgruntled people out there and people want change and so on and so forth. They didn't come out and vote for it. It's kind of simple as that. If you want change, you vote for it. And I'm looking at the main opposition party are down in support. Basically, amongst the soft left, there was a shift from one party aligned with a very bright colour that believes in climate change and social justice to another two parties with bright colours who believe in climate change and social justice. So that's fine. That's all very well. But beyond that, if people don't turn up and vote, well, then they can't whinge then the following day. What I don't understand about the Sinn Féin position now is Mary Lou McDonald is talking about, well, I'm going to sit down with all the left-wing parties and try and form some sort of administration. Why were Sinn Féin not building bridges with these parties over the last 5 years? And basically it was for the first 3.5 to 4 years, they were thinking, we're going to eat you. We're taking your seats. And now it was a bit too late.
It was on the last day, she said it, wasn't it?
Yeah, standing on a stage, 10 days out, when the people around her asked, who's your preferred government? And Labour, Social Democrats and the Greens were not saying, our first choice would be Mary Lou McDonald for Taoiseach. Mm. They were not saying that.
In fairness, Ivana Bacic did the same thing, because it was during the 10-way leaders debate that she said, the first thing we'll do is talk to the named parties on the left. So, you know, and people say, why wasn't there an alliance there heading into this campaign? And maybe that would have thrown up a very different result if those conversations were had before people went to the polls.
There's your comparison, though, between this election and go back to 2002, where, again, there was an incumbent government, economic boom, opposition wasn't really there. There was no alternative government really in place. Compared to what Mary Lou McDonald needed to do this weekend was do what Enda Kenny did in 2007, which was build an alliance that gave you a critical mass that you could say, if people want change this weekend, a slight change of the dial will give it to you. Mm-hmm. But she didn't do that.
I think the reason why Labour, Sock Dems, Greens, other kind of more liberal left parties, let's say, are less willing to be very forthright about their preference to have a Sinn Féin-led government is that they know that many of their liberal middle-class voters won't be happy with that. So they're kind of dancing around that issue as well. And the reality is immigration has emerged as an issue over the past few years. And that has affected Sinn Féin more than other parties because Sinn Féin are a working-class party. That's where their base is. So they've had to manage that in a way that Labour haven't had to, or the Sock Dems haven't had to. So it's very easy for them to take a rather kind of very kind of, we want to be strictly, like, we want to stick with a very strong liberal position on immigration. Sinn Féin don't have the luxury to do that because that's not where their base is at. Mm-hmm. Hence why you have this fragmentation on the left. But my point earlier on was less about the opposition and the lack of an alternative government. It's more that the government themselves might need to say, you know, we need to pivot a little bit on our policies, mm-hmm. right? In order to recognise that there's lots of people out there who don't actually share our views on lots of these things. We actually might need to listen to the opposition here when it comes to policies like housing. Maybe there are other voices in the Dáil who are not in government, but actually they've got good ideas and good policies. Why can't we incorporate them into our parties?
Really quick, because I need to take a break.
I think independents are a big complicating factor in this as well. They're between independent Ireland and just independence. There are another 20 seats. Some of those are actually the status quo Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael parties. If you take the Gene pool and add them to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, actually they have a majority government. Mm-hmm. And so when you start evaluating the figures, I mean, not all of it is for change. That block of 20 can be distributed in different ways, and if you distribute the gene pool, it really does tell you that the vote for change is a lot less than, you know, other analyses would suggest.
All right, we must leave that there for now. Fionnán Sheehan, Teresa Reedy and Aidan Regan, thank you very much. Barry Lenehan is staying with us because he lives here. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.